I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction. Been wrestling with demons in small bottled prisons. Been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian. Been shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings, but I can't stop the pull. Our elections are travesties paid for in full by a gang full of sellouts who worship a bull. Why can't it all just be free and equal?
Hi everyone, Christina Tobin here. Today on the Free and Equal Network, we have Hisham El Maliki from Muslims for Liberty as our guest. Welcome, Hisham, and thank you for being with us on the show.
Thank you for having me, Christina. It's my pleasure.
Well, you're calling out of New York. You're one of the four founders with Muslims for Liberty. And I wanted to, I believe a lot of our supporters probably aren't familiar yet with your organization, MuslimsForLiberty.org, the number four, MuslimsForLiberty.org. And I wanted you to just let our supporters know who you are and what Muslims for Liberty is about.
Sure. So we are a group of Muslims and non-Muslims who are trying to educate the community about the origins of liberty in Islamic text and system. We are working with all organizations in the liberty movement in order to restore the American Republic to its founding status, which we veered very much away from it.
And you're currently live in New York, but you were born and raised in Cairo, Egypt. Is that correct?
Correct. I born and raised over there. I lived 27 years in Egypt before moving to the United States.
Hisham, the first time I heard about you, your email popped out of nowhere. It was right before the Larry King debate, and it was such a nice email. And you're like, can we be a co-sponsor for this debate, or we put out a request or whatnot? And it was just, of course, and you were a part of supporting that. Thank you for that. And I appreciate that, that we're so much on the same wavelength. And you're one of the four founders with Muslims for Liberty. I believe you have a couple other, another gentleman that was a co-host of a Tea Party radio show down in Florida, one of the other founders.
Sure. This is William Cooley. He's the national director of Muslims for Liberty. And he was a co-host of one of the first Tea Party radio shows down in Florida a few years back. He's now back to his native Tennessee, and we're working together with Davi Barker in California, in San Francisco, and Rami Osman in Virginia, and many others across the country. And chapters are opening, or people are, flocking to the message of Islam and liberty all over the world now.
Now, I have a real interest, a strong interest in Muslims for Liberty. And many people don't know this. I actually lived in Indonesia for almost 4 years. And my second language is Bahasa Indonesia, the Indonesian language. And I firsthand really experienced, this is back when Bush was president, when I lived there, meeting so many Muslims, through Jakarta, Yogyakarta, Surabaya, so on, through Java. And just a real peaceful culture of people that felt like there was a lot of misrepresentation towards governments about what their religion and culture was about. And it was really, I was a little, I have to admit, with the mainstream media kind of, used to persuade me a bit more back in the days, not so much at all anymore, but I was really fooled. And I, to a certain extent, became friends and am still friends with many Muslims throughout Indonesia. And I guess why I'm bringing this up is because I love the concept. I look on your website and it says Muslim for Liberty's highlights the striking parallels between Islam and libertarianism. And I was hoping you could elaborate on that a bit more.
Absolutely. And to your first point, after 9/11, I was here in New York City. I live in the borough of Staten Island. On that day, I had a traffic ticket in downtown Manhattan. I couldn't make it on time, which might have saved me from the being hurt or killed on 9/11. So the attacks themselves and then the reaction to the attacks of 9/11 made me think why they happened and why the reaction to them. The very next day or even the same night, my culture, my national origin, my religion, just my being was being under attack, as if I am responsible or these are responsible for what took place. So I embarked on a long journey of research, and I believe it will continue with me for the rest of my life, that I went into politics, into economics, into history, I mean, you name it, everything. And I came with a few conclusions, that one of them that if you take any individual anywhere in the world, separate them from their circumstances for a few minutes and sit and talk with them, get to know the person, you will come up with the almost every time that the person just want to live in peace and happiness with their families. So most people, that's my belief, are like that, but there are people who are benefiting from putting us and pitting us against each other for the benefit, the divide and conquer, the same old method and model at work.
Yeah, we discussed a little bit. That's well said, and I couldn't agree with you more. We discussed previously a bit about how being demonized a lot of the people, Muslims around the world. I mean, it was very clear to me when I lived in Indonesia how demonized the Americans had, with their media there and so on, had somewhat become. And I was pretty quiet during that time period. Again, that was when Bush was president, and I would, kind of joke around and say, why else do you think I moved 10,000 miles away? I mean, really. So it just, it feels like Muslims, or I know I feel from the heart that Muslims have been wrongfully demonized by the mainstream media in America. And what's your feeling on that topic?
I mean, it's simple, and it has been done with many other communities before Muslims. However, the U.S. government wants to attack overseas, their people must be demonized in order to desensitize the American public from what might happen to these people. Let's take the example of Iraq. We now know it's irrefutable that the war on Iraq was based on complete lies, fabrications. But before the war, what have we been fed from the media, from the government, that these people are savages, these people will attack us, they have weapons of mass destruction, this and that. And unfortunately, until today, some people still believe that there are weapons of mass destruction and they are hidden somewhere. But look at what happened to Iraq. We have more than a million deaths all over Iraq and a few other million displaced, and the country is in shambles. For what purpose? So it's the demonization of the enemy in order to allow the attacks that goes against them. And it happens not only from the American government side, it happens from other governments. You demonize your enemy in order to be able to attack them with some popular support, at least.
What do you feel is one of the biggest things, or when it comes to Muslims, Islam and Muslims, that is being misunderstood, misinformation? What do you think those specific topics would be?
The problem is there is an anti-Muslim universe out there that fabricates things and presents it as facts. You have an issue here that the number of Muslims in the United States is at most 10 million people. So, I mean, usually the statistics say 3 million, but let's say they are 10 million people. That's 3% of the American population. So the activists within those people do not have enough time or resources to refute every loon out there who speaks at a college or at a church calling Muslims all kinds of things and making up stuff. Islam has only two sources. It's the Quran and the example of Prophet Muhammad. They are available in libraries. They are available online. If somebody tells you Islam calls for this or that. Okay, I'm going to go research that, and I'm going to look at the sources of Islam itself if it does say that. I mean, if people only take a grain of salt with what they hear, it wouldn't be the situation that we're living in today. Let's take an example of they hate us for our freedoms. I mean, this is so ridiculous that it's basically saying that Muslims and Arabs do not like freedom, period. Right. So, I mean, I don't want to be free, and I want to take your freedom away. What does that mean, even? So no. This is one of the things that, unfortunately, still widely believed out there.
Well, we're towards the end of our interview, but I definitely wanted to end on the note that it's very, very apparent to me that, you know, in America, the two-party system's been intentionally dividing us for centuries, and of course, there's countries and governments in their countries doing the same, and it all ties in to from people to office, to money, central banks, up to the Federal Reserve, which is a private institution, a few people at the top that, you know, unfortunately make money off of war and death, and it all plays in together from mainstream media to even Hollywood and music. You know, it's so controlled, like our electoral system. I mean, I feel, truthfully, if it wasn't rigged, Ron Paul probably or would be president today, really. So I thank you so much for your time on the show. And if anybody wants to learn more about Muslims for Liberty, check it out at Muslims, that's plural, for Liberty, the number four, liberty.org, that is. Hisham, thank you so much for being on the show. I really wanted our listeners to experience something a bit different, very much out of the box, and see that we are all people, we are all one, and we will unite together for a positive, peaceful, powerful movement to make the world a better place and to take back our government and shift our government back to the origins of the Constitution. So thank you, Hisham, so much for your time today.
Amen to that. Thank you very much, Christine.
And you've been listening to the Free and Equal Network. Thank you for your time today. Until next time.